So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the loop.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you. Les, you haven't told me, man. What have you been up to this whole week? You were sick last week.
Yeah, well, I actually, not a bunch. Just, well, we're...
You didn't sound too good. I was worried about you when you called me last week.
Well, you know, you get old, you get feeble and sick.
Please.
Whatever. No, I you know, I'm cool. No, we're headed out this upcoming weekend, and we're gonna be spending a few days in the mountains at you know, in North Carolina with the in-laws, and then we're headed down to Charlotte. We're gonna have a chance to see Mr. and Mrs. Steamboat for lunch, and then we got a 3-day camp, the 18th, 19th, and 20th in Spindale, and that's Harley and Tully Blanchard will be with Dr. Tom and I on Friday, and then those three guys head down to Spartanburg for the big Legends, the salute to tribute to Starcade down there on Saturday night, and Tracy Smothers is going to hang with me to train on Saturday, and then Tully and Doc will be back for the Sunday session. We'll go all day, all 3 days. We have two rings going. It's open to beginners through experienced wrestlers. And on Friday night there in Spindale House, there is a show with a bunch of legends, Midnight Express, Lex Luger, Rick Steiner, Tony Atlas, Ivan Koloff, The Barbarian, The Stro, and God knows who else are all going to be on that card.
That's a ton of talent.
Yeah, J.J. Dillon's going to be there, Harley, of course, and we'll have a good time. It's a good part. And then come home for 10 days, and then we go down to West Liberty, Kentucky for Retro Wrestling Alliance, and we'll be doing a 3-day camp there, Dr. Tom and I, on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And the Morgan, I think it's Morgan County Community Center, but you can go to epwt.com and pick up the links to get the information on both of those camps. There, you know, come and join us, man. We're having a great time.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we've got D'Lo Brown on the show. It's going to be we're going to get down with the Brown, Les.
All right.
Right here on Wrestling Weekly, Les Thatcher and Doc Young here with you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing, Luke? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, our featured guest, Mr. D'Lo Brown. D'Lo, thanks for being on the show.
Doc, Les, what's going on, dog? It's been a long damn time since I talked to you. How you guys feeling?
And you're just swimming your way out down in the hurricane belt, right?
I'm just fighting against the winds. I'm like a salmon swimming upstream. It's not working out too well.
That's been your toughest opponent of late, hasn't it?
You know what? I have knocked everybody out. But Wilma, that woman, she packed a punch. And I don't want to ever meet her ever again.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear that. So you were telling us off the air that you had lived down there for so many years. And
you know, I've been down here for 9 years total. And the first 7 years, never a hurricane. Everything skirted around the peninsula, bounced around, went around Cuba, nothing. Up around Jacksonville, the last 2 years, 20 storms have interacted with the state of Florida. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I'm... You know, the fun and the sun, the sunshine is nice, but 110 mile an hour winds, just, and like I said, it makes your house sound like something out of a horror movie. It is not fun.
Mm.
And when you're walking past, you know, windows, covering your face in fear that they're going to shatter and fly at you, it's something to think about.
It's time to seriously think about moving.
Yeah, it's time. It might be time to get out of here.
But what have you been up to lately? I haven't talked to you in about a year.
You've been working out of the country quite a bit, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, I do most of my stuff. I work for All Japan Pro Wrestling. That is my mainstay. I've been to Japan 20 times in 36 months.
Wow.
And in the interim, I go over to England, Scotland, Ireland, Germany. For the most part, I work outside the United States. I'll do the occasional, you know, independent there in the States, but for the most part, I'm working abroad.
Are you liking it better out there?
Yeah, because, for example, Japan, you know, and I love wrestling in the States, but and not to say one fan is better than the other, but the Japanese crowd, they appreciate it and respect it in a different way. They appreciate it for the art form and the athleticism that it is.
And you also became a reality show host.
I did a reality TV show called Celebrity Wrestling, which is a god-awful show. I will go on the air and say, you know what, let me take that back. It was a good show the way it came off live. The way they edited it was god-awful. It was one of those things you felt so confident about after you got done doing it. You're going, well, this is going to be a hit. And then when they sent you the edited show they're going to play for TV, I actually had a celebrity wrestling party in my house, and halfway through the first episode, I'm apologizing to my guests, and I'm like, I'm so sorry.
What was so bad about it?
Just they edited it, and it came off like it was the worst staged thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't flow. It was like you could see how they set things up. And the selling point to me to do the show was they're going to have a camera with me 24 hours a day, 24/7, and I'm going to train these people. And train them for several weeks leading up to these games, and they'll do these games.
Right.
So then when the show came out, all you saw was the games, and then there'd be a 30-second clip of how I trained them. And the several weeks of training them turned out to a 30-second sound bite.
Wow.
And so you get these people who can't play these games, and that's the featured thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to explain them, wrestling, you accentuate what you can do and hide what you can't. So these people can't play the games, accentuate what they can do. These people can act, they can sing, they can dance. Show that stuff. Show them interacting live. And then my biggest thing was you shouldn't call it celebrity wrestling, because it wasn't. It was basically Tough Enough meets American Gladiator. It had nothing to do with wrestling other than to have a game where it'd be inside of a roped ring.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest part of wrestling it had.
Piper was on this thing too, right?
Piper was on it, and Joe Legend was also on. He was the opposing trainer.
Did you train anybody that we would know over here in the States?
No. These were all, B-level celebrities, C-level celebrities over in England.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, were, you know, and I hate to say this because I had great friendships with all of them, but they were people who were famous because one slept with someone else.
Right.
One was part of a rock band whose team didn't win the competition. There was one who was a Playboy model who really didn't make the cover. It was a bunch of B-level celebrities.
It's like the Surreal Life.
It was worse than Surreal Life. I mean, at least the Surreal Life, you can scratch your head and go, yeah, okay, I know Brett. I remember her from somewhere.
Right.
Maven's going to be on Surreal Life.
At least you know Maven. At least he did something in the mainstream.
Yeah.
In England, these people were like, who are these? Like, the Pavarotti didn't even follow us.
That was terrible.
So, I mean, it's like, and I had great friendships, and I'm not trying to say anything bad about the people who I was with and the friendships I created there, but it was bad. I'll just leave it at that. And, you know, Les, I'm not going to BS about the business. That was bad.
You don't figure this is going to be a best-selling DVD then?
I think for the cult following, yeah. But anything else?
And how many episodes did you do that?
We did, I want to say 8, 10, I think it was 12. And it got canceled after about 9.
Mm.
And we had the, okay, here's how big they thought the show was going to be. You remember Thursday night, 8 o'clock, that was the Friends Cosby spot. You know how it was the big spot, Thursday night, 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
SmackDown was there for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
We got the 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock spot in England, which is their equivalent of that Thursday night, 8 o'clock spot.
Mm-hmm.
That's their number one spot. So here's the rival network, the BBC. I forget the don't quote me on the channel, but they brought Doctor Who back after 20 years of not being on British television. I mean, they were really worried.
I remember that.
Okay, they brought Doctor Who back, updated him, and kept bringing back the biggest heels of all time to fight him during these weeks. So after about the first week, we drew in something ridiculous, like, you know, 7 or 8 million people. The second week, we drew in 4 million. Third week, we drew in 200,000.
Whoa.
Well, the fourth week, they were, like, questioning, and by the fifth week, we were moved to Sunday afternoon.
Man.
And I don't even believe the Finnish ever saw air.
Mm.
Wow.
What kind of games did they have?
There were games like, they, you know, and the concepts were really cool. They had one where two girls were tied together by a rope, and they had light buttons in each corner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Power Up, and you had to touch your color button to light up, you know, in the four corner posts, light up as many buttons you can in 30 seconds.
All right.
It was cool concepts. You had one where you know, I don't know if it was like a rip-off of the American Gladiators. You'd fight with the staffs, and you try to knock your opponent off the pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically American Gladiators, and if they'd have called it like Celebrity Combat instead of Celebrity Wrestling, it might have gotten about better. But we raised the expectation level with the wrestling fans in the UK that it was a wrestling show, and it wasn't.
Right.
And it was the bait and switch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think they abandoned us and really you know, I'm sorry, I almost cursed. Really poo-pooed on us.
Yeah. I want to get back to your career and the wrestling where you actually did wrestle. You made your wrestling debut in 94.
Yeah, Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
With Smoky Mountain, you were a head of security for the Gangstas.
For the Gangstas, yeah.
Yes, he was.
Which was a, you know, here I was 3 minutes out of wrestling school. Not even wrestling. I taught myself in the backyard, but don't tell anybody that. That's a secret between me, you, and Les.
And whoever's listening.
And we're, no, nobody's listening. Nobody. I'm only kidding. I was 3 minutes out of wrestling school, and I come down. It was the Bluegrass Brawl. Jim Cornette gives me a match against Tracy Smothers, and I open the show up. Come back. Apparently, I did well in the match because he goes, "Hey, I want you to walk out with the Gangstas in the main event." So I think I'm the only person ever to wrestle as one character at the opening match and be somebody completely different in the main event. And that's when I really got my start, and he really used me, and you know, we're not, you know, there's smart marks out there. Jimmy's biggest thing was always use D'Lo in the finish because he's not going to forget it. And that was my spot. Always use D'Lo in the finish.
And you also were a member of a very infamous frat house in Knoxville while you were there. The
Smoky Mountain Flop House.
Yeah, tell them about your fraternity
and
brothers.
I've got to tell you, I'm privileged to have been roommates with Chris Jericho, Lance Storm, Balls Mahoney, Kane, New Jack, Mustafa, and Snot Dudley.
Wow.
This was the place I called my home.
All at the same time?
All at the same time.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, my first night in, I'm laying in a bed, and Chris Jericho comes home from Japan. And he walks in, looks at me, goes, "Hey, you're in my bed." I said, "Hey, I'm D'Lo." He goes, "I don't care who you are, you're in my bed." This is my introduction to Chris Jericho.
Did you get out of his bed?
I got out of his bed and ran downstairs and slept on the couch. Because I was told he wasn't coming home for another day, and he caught an earlier flight.
Yeah.
Jericho tells a story about when Balls left to clean out his room.
Oh, my God.
There was food between the mattress
and the box. We flipped the mattress over, and there was a hive of roaches living there because all the food he would stick in between his mattresses. There were no bugs anywhere else in the house. They were all in Balls' room. So they all had just said, hey, let's go to Balls' room.
Well, there's plenty of food to eat.
You know what? We won't starve. We will not be Ethiopian, Balls' room. Let me tell you right now.
What did he do? Just put it in there for later?
I don't know, but whatever he didn't eat, he wouldn't throw it away. He would just slide it between his mattress. Hey, go figure. Maybe it was a refrigerator. I don't know.
So who did you look up to growing up?
Balls Mahoney.
Hey, Balls Mahoney. I had no choice. on a serious note, and Les will even tell you this, you know, I grew up watching guys, and I didn't know why I watched these guys, but I watched guys like Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, and later on in life, and guys like Ron Simmons, they weren't the flashiest guys, but later on in life I realized those were guys with the hard work ethic. And I patterned myself after being like that.
Mm-hmm.
Even to this day, promoters will tell me, D'Lo, you don't take a night off. Because that's the work ethic I bring. Because I'm under the mindset that, and I've been a fan, and I have paid $20, and $20 I've saved all month to go watch, you know, the NWA in the Civic Center in Philadelphia.
Right.
I know what it's like. And I've seen people walk up with jars of pennies and dumped them on people's hands, and that was their admission ticket. They don't care if I'm sick. They don't care. They don't need to know that I'm having a bad day. They have paid to see me entertain them. And I have patterned myself after that. And those are the guys that I looked up to, just because they worked their asses off every night. And they were the workhorses of whatever team they were in. They were the workhorses of whatever angle they were in. Those are the guys that I wanted to be like.
Mm-hmm. Agent Orange in the chat room wants to know, he said that you're a gamer, and what's your favorite video game?
Right now, I'm big into college football, NCAA 2005. I'm big into that.
What's your platform of choice?
I bounce back between PS2, mm-hmm. the PSP, and my Xbox.
Oh, you got a PSP?
Yeah,
I heard those are really nice.
Man, let me tell you, the greatest thing I ever had in the world, I can bring my movies, I've got an extra battery, it lasts for 12 hours, it covers a flight from Japan, I don't have to watch the crappy movies on a plane, I can bring whatever I want and play my games, and the PSP is one of the greatest inventions. And I'll tell you right now, on the All Japan bus, everyone's got a PSP.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not hard for me to be playing Prince Albert, or me to be playing D-Von Dudley, in like Madden 2006.
Right.
And we have games all the time. Right now, Prince Albert's the number one guy. Me and D-Von are 1-1, but he had a questionable win against me. Anyway, but, you know, PSP is really, you know, I'll tell you this. I can't imagine what classrooms around this country are like with PSPs, because you can play another kid up to 50 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers must be pulling their hair out. Because if I know if I had that, I'd be like, yo, Tommy, bring your game.
Yeah.
And we're going to play in science class.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine what teachers would like, but those are the three platforms I choose right now, is PlayStation, PSP, and Xbox.
Excellent. Lawson wants to know if any promotions have offered you a commentating job.
None whatsoever. I have not done any commentating since the 6 months I spent on Heat. So I guess luckily people still want me to wrestle as opposed to talk. But mm-hmm. I think I have a viable career after I'm done wrestling.
Well, he can always replace Chuck Woolery on this.
Well, I can follow in Grande Les's footsteps, because there's one of the best play-by-play guys in the business talking to me right now.
Thank you.
TNA fan and EL, they want to know if you still speak with New Jack and Mustafa, and what was it like working with them?
It was to work with New Jack and Mustafa. Now, I came from a very country background. I grew up in a small little city, and to be exposed to the hip-hop gangster life was a little different for me.
Being exposed to New Jack, being from any place.
Well,
it's a cultural shock, and I say that, I love it.
I love Jacketeers, and it was great working with Jack and Mustafa, but for a kid just growing up, just leaving, literally leaving his mama, it was a cultural shock to be thrown right into this hip-hop life.
Mm-hmm.
I had the greatest time in the world, and to work with Jack is, trust me, I love Jack. I love him to tears. For anyone out there, I'm reporting for the internet now. Please report this tonight. Me and Jack have no heat, and we love each other. Not like that way, but we really love each other.
I could just see the headline now. D'Lo professes his love to New Jack.
D'Lo says he loves Jack, wants to marry him. News film at 11.
Last time Doc and I talked to New Jack, he was in a strip club on his cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know what? Jack lives the life, and he loves it.
Yeah.
And you can't hate the player. You can't hate the player.
So where did you grow up at?
I grew up, and everyone thinks I grew up in Chicago, which I love. You know, Chicago's my second home, and I love Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up in a small little city called Burlington, New Jersey.
Really?
Which is just east of Philadelphia, south of Trenton, New Jersey. Basically, if you turn left at the cow, you're at my hometown.
The one cow?
Yeah, if you turn left, left the cow Betsy, you got her.
Truthfully,
you're right dead center at my high school.
Cool.
But he hasn't grown up yet. No, working on that.
Fredzo has a question. He wants to know what your thoughts are on WWE current day.
It seems like they're going a little retro. The minute they went back to USA, it seems like they changed things. I monitor the product every now and then. I watch it, and I still have friends there who call me and say, "Hey, watch segment 5 at about 8:15 or 9:15. Tell me what you think." It still lacks direction, and you can see that they're trying to feel their way, but they don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I'm sorry, and I hate to use the term back in the day, because I'm not an old timer, but back in my time, back when Clinton was president,
hell yeah.
Things were done differently, and everyone meant something top to bottom. And, when you bought Fully Loaded pay-per-view, you didn't just buy, Rock Austin. You bought, D'Lo X-Pac. You bought New Age Outlaws versus whoever. You bought 9 matches. You didn't just buy the match on top and, oh, by the way, we're going to announce you what the other 8 matches are 20 minutes before you buy the pay-per-view.
Right.
And that seems what they're doing now. They're kind of going back to what they used to, but it's still a little iffy.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question from the chat room. Who's your favorite traveling buddy?
Kane and Stevie Richards.
You got any stories?
The biggest reason why, because we would all bring our Xboxes, mm-hmm. and we would all get hotel rooms directly adjacent to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we would hook them up, and we would hook up Ethernet wires, and there'd be a hub sitting in the hallway.
Right.
And we would all be in our rooms with our phones next to us, talking to each other. I sound like a nerd. We were talking to us while playing whatever game we were playing. And there would be the rotating fourth. But we would, we'd be playing whatever football, Madden, whatever. And we'd all have our Xboxes all hooked up. So those are good stories. And those are, Kane's a gamer and Steve Rich is a gamer. And I beat them both, so it doesn't matter.
What's your favorite clique ever in wrestling? Like DX,
the
NWO,
Nation.
The Nation.
The Nation.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm sorry. The clique, they never did anything on TV. Oh, they did, but they didn't. But, NWO did things, but the Nation, I think, was the reason why I say the Nation was the best, look at the people that were in it. And not only as a group did we do something, but then separate the group. Rocky,
mm-hmm.
Mark Henry and me,
mm-hmm.
Godfather, Ron Simmons, Owen. We all went and did single things after being in this group.
Right.
How many times have you seen a group of guys come together as a group and then they're gone when the group breaks up?
Yeah.
So the Nation was a platform to launch off five different careers and revitalize Owen's career. If you look at it in terms of the business, to me, the Nation was the best group of guys put together.
Yeah, you used to hang around with Rock when he was just starting out. Do you get free movie passes or anything?
You know, I don't get any free movie passes, but we talk occasionally. but I can tell you some. I won't tell him on air, but I'll just say this: there have been times when Rocky and I would split a Ford Taurus and shack up together in a two bedroom at the Red Roof.
Mm-hmm.
And it was normal, just the way things were done normally.
Right.
And he and I have spent a lot of time together for the better part of 2.5 years. And especially in that time, I moved to Florida. So we traveled literally. The only time we didn't see each other was the time we'd go home to our wives or girlfriends.
Well, he actually doesn't get home much at all now, does he?
No, he pretty much is out in L.A., he still has a place down here, but he's pretty much out in L.A.
Yeah.
all the time. And he's got too much going on now.
Yeah. Violent G has a question. He says, D-Lo, back in the peak of the Attitude Era, you were my favorite. I felt they buried you just as you were getting over. Do you feel the same?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me. It's you know, the writers and how they put the machine behind you. But I was right at the precipice of, that's a big word for wrestling, I was right at the cliffside of becoming something, the main eventer. Because I was right at that Intercontinental, the first Intercontinental European champion, and I was right, I thought I was right there to crossing over to that upper echelon of the card, of the show, of the talent. And, you know, many people around me thought the same thing. I thought it was, my character was starting to break through. And then the next thing you know, I was wearing a turban. And the next thing I know, I was sitting behind a commentating desk. And the next thing I know, I was a racist. And the next thing I know, I was on a flight home and I'm talking to Japan.
Yeah.
I went from the penthouse to the outhouse in about a weekend, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I burying, yeah, I think, I don't know the reason, but... I really thought that something changed, and it was very apparent.
Mm-hmm. TNA fan wants to know what your thoughts are on TNA, of course, and how far they've come since you were there.
They've come light years.
Mm-hmm.
To get themselves a network deal, to put on a viable product weekly. 6 months ago, they didn't have a TV network to even broadcast on. So they've come a tremendous amount of way. I'm happy for the talent that's there. I'm friends with a lot of guys that are there, and I talk to them on a regular basis, and I'm very, very happy for them. You know, and the biggest thing, I'm happy they finally gave Raven a strap. You know, guy who deserved the world championship a long time ago finally got one. So, and now Rhino's got one, which is good for them.
No, Rhino don't have it anymore.
Never mind.
Just took it back on Thursday night.
I don't want to hear about it. Never mind.
See, you're down in Florida. Are you talking with TNA or
no,
thinking about maybe getting back?
I have no plans to go to TNA.
No.
We had difference of opinion a year and a half ago, and it is not, settled, and I don't have plans to go back. I'm very happy being in Japan. It is very nice to go away for 2 weeks, come home, and live in obscurity. And then go away for 2 weeks, and then come home and live in obscurity. So I'm very, very happy with
that. The highlight of his year this year so far was when he and I and Al worked against DiNucci.
Oh, yeah.
And Nick and Shane Douglas.
I got to tell you, that was the funniest time I had. You know, literally from the minute we walked to the ring and they announced Cactus Jack at three bills and some change, you know, that was funny. And then it was just a night to remember. It honored a great friend of ours, Brian Hillebrand, and it just was a cool night. And
we had a good time. We really
We had a wonderful time, and to be in the ring, literally, and you know, whenever you go around the country and you're a freelance guy and you're an independent guy and you're the name coming in, you're working Tom, Dick, and Harry, whose brother owns a company or uncle owns a company or father-in-law owns a company, and he's a champ. So you don't know what you're getting in the ring with.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the ring with five other guys who not only know what they're doing, but know more than you do, it is just the most relaxing feeling in the world.
Yeah.
And you just go out there and you forget about everything else. And it goes back to why you got in this business, just to have fun. It's not a job, it's just having fun. And that, I haven't had that much fun in the ring in a long time. And we messed around for 30 minutes. The people there enjoyed themselves from bell to bell. And the boys enjoy themselves even more.
Exactly.
And, yeah. And I mean, if you haven't seen it, get the DVD. If you were there, please let me know, because I had a blast, and I hope everybody else did too.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the show. We're running out of time, but D-Lo, it's been great having you on the show.
As always, a pleasure. If you guys ever need me, Grandpa, you know how to get a hold of me.
Yes, grandson, I sure do.
All right, D'Lo Brown here on Wrestling Weekly.
I appreciate it, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, brother, take care of yourself.
All right, bye. Les, I love you, Les.
Love you too, man.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, guy. All right, that was a good interview.
It's okay?
Yeah.
Good.
All right, it's Doc Young and Les Thatcher here on Wrestling Weekly. We are going to be cutting out of here. Don't forget, check out what Les is up to every week at lesthatcher.com and epwt.com. Also, and Les, I can't forget to say this, obsessedwithwrestling.com.
There you go.
For all you wrestling needs.
Get it in, man.
I need to do that. All right, we're going to be back with you next week. Keep checking out the website to see who our guest is going to be next week. We'll be back on Sunday from 6 to 8 Eastern. For Les Thatcher, I'm Doc Young. Good night, guys.
Good night.
You've been listening to Wrestling Weekly. Please join us again next Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern right here on WrestlingWeekly.com.